The sermon text this morning is taken from today's gospel reading, the appearance of Peter, or appearance of Jesus to Peter and other disciples. Alleluia, Christ is risen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So our text today is a record. It's John's record, John's recollections, his recounting of Peter's encounter with Jesus, the resurrected Jesus. So we're going to take this rather long reading and distill it down and encapsulate it. What do we find? We find that in short, Peter goes to work. Peter hears the Lord as John points Jesus out to Peter. Once Peter recognizes the Lord, he rushes to meet the Lord as Peter quickly swims to shore. Peter obeys Jesus when Jesus says to Peter, go help the other guys finish with their work. And then come sit down to a meal. And by the resurrected Jesus, Peter is reinstated to the office of one of Jesus' sent ones. And then Jesus prophesies the type of death with which Peter will glorify Jesus. So I think that's the high points of that gospel reading. There's so much in there to wrestle with that we couldn't do it all this morning, so let's pick two of the things out for us, and we'll take a look at them this morning. That is, first, work, and second, our death. Work and death. First, work. Peter, as he's with the other disciples of Jesus, says something to the effect of, I'm going fishing. And he says it in such a way as that, anybody want to come with me? And so instead of just sitting around doing nothing, being idle, they put their hands to labor and their feet to work. And that's what they do. And it's entirely like Peter to make a proposition to do a bit of work. He likes activity. And they were out there fishing all night long, chucking the net into the water. They didn't have any luck, of course. But they stayed out all night on the boat fishing. So I began to think. You know, these men are in a very curious place. A place between grief and joy, a place between amazement and incomprehension. I find that the antidote to the unsettled mind is work. Work is a good thing. Labor is a good thing. Of course, now we all joke about not wanting to work. We all joke about wanting to be retired, and many of you have heard me joke often, probably far more often than I should, that I've said, every vacation I take proves to me that I should have just been born to an independently wealthy family, right? Because that's pretty nice, just being on vacation. But it's not true. We like to labor, we like to work, we like to be at work, and those are just jokes. Because there's an immense satisfaction in labor. There's an immense satisfaction in work. It's the difference between choosing to lay around on the couch or on your bed and scroll around online, or get out and wash your car, get up and make your bed, get up and accomplish things for the day. Get some sore muscles out of the deal. So Albert, I was reading this quote, Albert, the Archbishop of Magdeburg, was recorded as saying, the human heart is like a millstone. If you pour grain on the stone and it revolves, the stone crushes and powders it and turns it into flour. If there is no grain there, the stone turns anyway. But now it crushes itself and it becomes thinner and smaller and narrower. He says, in like manner, the human heart wants something to do. If it does not have the works of its calling to perform, I thought this was very neat. If you're not busy at the works of your calling, the devil comes and shoots temptation and sadness and melancholy into the heart. And then the heart consumes itself with sadness. It pines away, and many a man has worried himself to death. So we are commanded by God to work. Work is a good thing. But God has commanded us, don't worry, but do work. And it's good to occupy our time with gardening, working on your flowers, mowing your grass, cleaning your house, in addition to your regular full-time job that you do and you have. I think that's a good lesson to learn. Work works the body, and it works the mind, and it helps settle the mind also. And today we also find that, by example of Peter, not only should we work, but we find that we should be aware of, think about, be ready for, and anticipate our own death. And that's something that's very odd in our culture. That's not something that we do or we like to do. We don't like to think about death or our own deaths, right? And we think about death, we should, and how we are going to die. Now, that's something maybe that's important to do. I know I am... How do I put this? I'm not afraid of being dead. I'm afraid of how I'm going to die. That bothers me. I'd like to think, as a Christian, when I'm dying, I will die with the Lord's Prayer, the Apostles' Creed on my lips, but I'm also at some level terribly afraid that I'll be swearing at the wall when I die. I don't know, but I do think about it sometimes and ponder how I'm going to encounter and face death. Peter, we know, was crucified, but he said he did not feel worthy to be crucified or put to death in the same way as his Lord was, and the ones who were crucifying completely accommodated him and chose to crucify him upside down. And that is how Peter died. That is the being led away by some people who you don't want to be with, going to a place you don't want to go. That's what Jesus was prophesying for Peter's death. Peter is to know the kind of death he will die. And knowing this, he will not only go joyfully to meet his death, but he will also, in the meantime, set his mind on the care of Jesus' lambs and sheep that are entrusted to him. I mean, it's absolutely no secret that Jesus warned the 12 of what their life in Christ was going to be like and of their future. And blessed are you, Jesus said, when people revile you and utter all kinds of evil against you and persecute you falsely on my account. And what does Jesus say about Saul? I'm going to show him how much he's going to have to suffer for my name. But so begs the question, what does this glory consist of? What kind of death he will glorify the Lord? I hope in my death I'm able to glorify the Lord. But what does that consist in? Is it martyrdom? Do we all have to give our lives up for Jesus? I mean, that's not a road for most Christians. Nor is it the only way to glorify the name of Jesus Christ. That is it, though, isn't it? It is all about the name. Glorify the name of Jesus Christ. And it is the name that lends glory to the suffering. But not every Christian's life ends at a martyr's cross, but in the course of our lives, we are all going to bear our crosses. We will glorify the name of God when we meet our deaths contentedly, in the confidence of the forgiveness of our sins, resting confident that though we may not see it, in patient faith we are doing the Lord's work. The hymn, Abide With Me, is not only a bedtime prayer, but it is a prayer for our deaths, a prayer asking for a blessed death. Hold thou thy cross before my closing eyes. Shine through the gloom and point me to the skies. Heaven's morning breaks and earth's vain shadows flee. On to the close, O Lord, abide with me. That's important for us to remember. In life, in death, O Lord, abide with me. And oftentimes we will find that we sing the hymn, All Praise to Thee, My God, this night. And in that hymn we sing, teach me to live that I may dread the grave as little as my bed. Teach me to die so that I may rise glorious on the awe-filled day. We glorify God in our deaths by preparing to meet our deaths rather than denying it or running away from it. Of course, it's understandable that people don't always prearrange their funerals. I will say, having been a pastor for many years, one of the greatest gifts we can give our families is to have our funerals ready to go so that in the time of their grief, they do not have to worry about what your favorite hymns are or your favorite Bible verses are or what psalm is your favorite psalm or what psalm is appropriate. So think about those things. Have them written down. It's important. But it's completely understandable. It's something that's so easy to put off. It's something that's so easy to set aside and say, I'll get to that later. And I've come to the conclusion it's not because a Christian is afraid of death. It's because they're just so busy at other stuff. You know, they're doing all that work thing and they're very busy with that. And I'll get to that later. I'll get to that later. I'll get to that later. And it's just something easy to set aside for more immediate and pressing matters. But we must acknowledge that death is the payment for sin. Therefore, death is overcome in confession and forgiveness. In absolution, God is glorified, for it is the glory of God to forgive sins. And it is God's will that He remembers your sin no more. So then, when we are preparing to die, we are to ask God the Father, let the blood shed by Christ cover me and make me holy in Christ's righteousness. Jesus dying is conveyed to you through your own baptism. So God is glorified when we do confess. Do you not know that all of us who are baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? In order that just as Christ Jesus was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life? And when we again confess with Scripture, you have died already. And your life is hidden with Christ. Your life is together with the life of Jesus Christ. Confessing that and being able to confess that is glorifying God in death. So to glorify God in death then is to believe, to accept, to trust that while we were yet sinners, yes, while we were even helpless, even more than that, while we were actively enemies of God, that same God incorporated you into Christ's victory. When Christ died on the cross, you died on the cross. When Jesus rose from the grave, you rose from the grave. And the benefit of Christ's victory is poured over you in your baptism. So glorifying God in our death is facing the limited power of death to kill the body, but not the soul. And reminding ourselves that all we have left to do is the physical dying before reaching fulfillment in eternity. Then we, like Peter, we should not be afraid to work, and we should not be afraid to die. We should not be afraid to follow Jesus unto death. For you too have received the commission. And as Jesus says to Peter, Jesus says to all of us, be following me in life and in death. Be following me. Amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia.